Hello, welcome back to episode 294 of the Bad Taste Video Podcast. I'm Mike, this is Grizz. We're getting back to vampires and trailer parks, two things we are very knowledgeable about. But before that, let's hit that intro. Sorry, I was
dancing.
This
makes me so happy. Dude, it makes me so happy.
This week, we're covering 1991's Vampire Trailer Park, a movie that neither of us have seen. I have seen the VHS tape cover, which I believe it's actually just this here. It's the same as this, but it's a Midnight Movies release. No U.S. release that I could see, or at least find. Maybe a DVD, maybe. Who knows?
Oh, it's another like Vampire Nights situation.
Yeah.
Amazing American made fucking vampire movie that did not see the light of day here. That's wild.
That happens more often than you think. There's a lot of movies that are kind of lost because of that. I have a movie called Gun's Eye that was, I believe, released in Germany, but it was filmed in the United States. It's a U.S. movie. PAL release, no U.S. release, maybe a modern release. There might be one, but. I have never looked into it more. I just thought it looked very strange. And anytime I see something where it's like, oh, this never got a U.S. release, but it was filmed here, immediately it like piques my interest. It's like, why?
Something weird about that. Yeah, why? Exactly. Like, what's up with it? Like, especially for things like this. Like, this is so fun, dude. This is so good. Like, I would imagine like this would absolutely have been accepted by like the American audience, no problem.
Yeah, you know what? I have no idea why, but things like this, things like Vampire Nights and shit, I wonder if it has something to do with like, all right, they signed the distribution deal for the UK, they signed the distribution deal for Japan, they signed the distribution deal, you know, for Europe, whatever. And then they signed one for America, but it fell through somehow, or like production fell through, and then that it was just like, whatever, they just fucking shelved it.
Got pushed back of the line over and over again. Something like this could have easily got slept on, you know, by a distro and shit like that. I could see it happening. It's just, it sucks, man, because this is like, I'm so mad at myself for not have seeing this sooner in my life. Like, yeah. It's just, it's so much fun. And that's what sucks about movies like this, is that they get like you said, they're just kind of like lost to time in a lot of senses, because, you know, you kind of have to, you know, be actively going out and looking for something like this in order to see it, because you're not just going to stumble across it. I mean, yeah. It's pretty odd that you would.
So. Yeah. Like, this is a movie that I would have rented as a kid. Like, this feels like, something I would have been all about. It's not like overly violent. It's not overly gory or anything. And the gore that is in the movie is pretty goofy. So nothing is like really bad. There's no nudity. So like, this really is like a an 80s PG-13 or like an early 90s PG-13 movie.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Like, it's definitely not offensive in any sort of way. I mean,
there's like sexual innuendos and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, like, but it's not like overtly sexual in any
Toy
way.
Toy Story has that shit too. And like, he didn't understand it when you were a kid, but you understand it now as an adult.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
But it really is cool that we gave this one a shot, thanks to you saying, hey, you know, Why don't we try this one? I said, sure. Okay. Why the fuck not? It's not Vampire Month. I think we're done with doing Vampire Month for quite some time. I feel like we need to take a break from that. But
it's good gimmick while you're invested. Yeah.
But we do feel like we have to occasionally throw one in. And this week's movie, as we keep saying, Vampire Trailer Park, is literally just untapped gold, untouched gold, or whatever the fuck you want
to. Great way to put it. You know, and it starts right from the jump with something that we've talked about loving so much in the past, is like a movie that has a theme song specific to that movie. Yes. Like the song that you just heard is so fucking funny when you hear the whole thing. It's all about, like, you know, the fucking Vampire Trailer Park. And it just reminds me a lot of like a Mark Pirro film. I said that to you, that, man, like, this could be like News Colony of the Dead. This could be, you know, Death Row Game Show. It fits that kind of, it's a comedy movie with a lot of like horror undertones, but there's always these like catchy fucking songs. And you'll hear another one that we'll play later on that just, the exact same thing.
Very like professionally done soundtrack and score.
Oh yeah.
You know, I have to say that I really do enjoy the songs in this movie. Like I enjoy all of them. You said that it reminded you of Nudist Colony of the Dead. To me, this reminded me of Dead Inn and like The Sandman. Not just because that took place in a trailer park, but very similar types of characters roaming the trailer park. And
Dead Inn, for sure. It has that comedy vibe that Dead Inn has 100%.
Yeah, it's like not overtly like in your face slapstick at times. It's just like kind of like one-liners and shit that they throw in. Like it's really a very hard type of movie to do like well, but when it's done well, it's just fucking, it's great. Especially when it's a horror comedy, because everything is harder when you try to, like, you know, do the double genre thing. And this one is quite the gem.
And you know what they did good about, like you just said, that's kind of like a hard thing to pull off sometimes, but they played it smart where they, like, we're making a comedy movie that has a plot that is like a cliche horror plot.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that, like, our vampire in this movie has all the great characteristics that we've talked about in the past that we love about, like, the vampire lore. You know, the sunlight thing, he has a servant,
like a familiar or whatever you want to call it.
Familiar, yeah, that, like, they keep around and stuff like that. He's over 200 years old and shit. There's all these great tropes that are, like, so true to, like, what the horror genre is. But it's not like played into that. It's a comedy movie at the very, like, front is what you're getting. And I think that's what makes it, like, super successful and funny.
Yeah, I agree. And they have a lot of stuff with, like, there's a psychic in the film that you're going to see. And they play on that, how, like, there's a supernatural element guiding our main characters and all that. And the trope of, like, the police interacting with the psychic and everything. I feel like that was a very, like, early 90s thing, right? Like, where you would see on, like, not like
Unsolved. Well, Angel.
Well, yeah. But, like, like an Unsolved Mysteries or thing. It's, like, where they consulted a psychic for the location of the remains. And, like, like, I feel like this was, like, a hot topic at this time. But you pretty much nailed the synopsis there. There is also, like, a weird, like a boyfriend, girlfriend, serial killing robber element going on too, which is kind of funny that they throw in. I really do like them.
Okay. I think to really lay it out, there's like a couple different, like, you know, groups of characters that really this whole movie revolves around. And it's the vampire and it's familiar. It's the trailer park owners, who are another wild couple that are basically trying to kill all the residents of the trailer park so that they can inherit the land to then sell to this
like a theme developer park company or whatever
that wants to buy it. There's the young serial killer robbing couple that you mentioned before. And then there's like the private dick and his
psychic
companion or just partner or whatever.
Yeah.
And like these, like all these little pockets of people that all interact at some point in time throughout this movie, it makes it so much fun because they're all these like over the fucking top people. all the characters are exaggerated, and the way they end up like coming into contact with one another, it's just it's done so well for a movie that's like shot, you know, I don't know, what does this have to be like? I think this is 16 millimeter maybe.
I don't know. It could be video. Could be eight. I don't know.
I thought it could be video at times too. But like, for a movie of this budget, to have like this well done of a plot with all these different groups of like characters A, B, C, and D and shit, it flows so fucking well, man.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it's funny because like the movie starts kind of seriously. You think it's gonna be like scary. And then they like already kind of throw that like chuckle in there. I have the clip. It's the first attack that you see, and it's a woman walking home at night, and
they can open her carton of smokes, dude.
Yeah. let me roll this because we get some sound effects in this that you're going to hear throughout the film also, and it's a very interesting sound design choice. Yeah. So she's got her fucking Marlboro carton that she's popping open. Can't wait before she gets home. Like this wheezing.
Dude, this wheezing kills me.
You're getting like a killer point of view shot from behind the tree that eventually attacks this woman. And it's like a cool cut that they do there. So for the... this sound, this vomit sound. And yes, that is blood being vomited onto a corpse. So they do a cool cut there where... it's the killer POV going at the woman who's screaming. It kind of goes black for a second. It pulls out and she's got like the bite mark in her neck and she's bleeding. It looks really good. Like for an opening sequence of a film, it really kind of like sets a tone. But then when you see that there's fucking vampire blood puke occurring, you realize that this probably isn't going to be fucking Interview with the Vampire.
It's, yeah, because like every time this vampire feed, he basically like pukes violently.
Did they like, explain that?
I tried to figure it out at one point. Like he mentioned something about like they were all dirty. So
is
like
that what
or
it is
like that.
Modern blood is dirty. Is that what
I guess,
it is?
Yeah. So he's looking. That's why. Like I guess that's maybe why they were looking for old people. Because that's the other thing. The vampire only really wants to fucking to eat off of old people. So it might be that like the young people are just fucking dirty. That could be the
that is true. But he's in the wrong trailer park if that's the case, because like we said, the owners of this trailer park are trying to actively kill the residents. By there's a multitude of ways that they're going about this. One of the ways was forcing them to do like calisthenics and running a marathon, basically, which two of them drop dead from a heart attack. And
well, like the one gets hit by a truck.
Oh yeah, yeah. One gets hit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The other one has a heart attack.
And then the wife has a heart attack later that night.
Yes. And then we also have a smoking and drinking contest. And this scene is pretty funny because it's like something you would see out of like a college film, like a late 80s, early 90s college film. He's basically having these guys just like drink and smoke as much as fucking possible.
Cheering them on the whole time.
Yeah. So let me roll that because this is actually pretty fucking funny. It sounds morbid as hell, but it actually is pretty comical. Smoke and drink your neighbor under the table contest. This song playing too. Knocking off old folks.
Such a good song.
Come on, everybody. Booze and butts. There's a sign hanging over them. It's like two guys just drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes.
Suck it up, man. Come on, suck it up. Hot box it. Hot box it. Come on.
Hot box it.
Yeah, suck it up.
And eventually, both of them eventually fall over and croak right there at the fucking table.
You know,
that's got to be my favorite fucking song in the movie. Knocking off old folks. That's like the fucking best.
It's in the atmosphere. Knocking off old folks.
So fun, man.
Dude, all the lyrics are so funny. You know, it's actually like reminiscent of like Club Dread. Like,
it really is. That's awesome.
What the fuck's his name? Coconut Pete?
Yeah, dude, Coconut Pete, fucking Penelope. It's like one of the best movies ever, man.
Penelope. But as you can tell, like the whole movie has this comedy going through it, and it's incredibly funny somehow. A lot of times it's pretty stale in these movies, but This movie just fucking nails it every time. And I don't know if it's because of the music, because like you're only half like concentrating on what's going on the screen. You're just like trying to hear what the lyrics are to these songs because they're so fucking ridiculous. I wish there was a soundtrack to this. I wonder if there's a DVD that contains it. That would be great. I'd really be down with that.
You know, and so like our vampire and then his servant slave person there, this old woman, like move into this trailer park that these people are knocking these people off at. And the whole time there's like this detective, like I was saying, who's on this trailer trying to figure out who's killing all these old people. And I like when his partner, the psychic, is like, what was it, channeling her dead grandma, mother or something like that?
Her dead grandma, I think it is.
Her dead grandma, yeah. And like the dead grandma is like giving them clues as to like where they had to go and what they had to do to catch this killer. It's so fucking stupid.
He's dressed like the Pink Panther, by the way.
Look for the trees.
Trees? What kind of trees?
Twin tropical trees.
Twin tropical.
This guy sounds like Randy Marsh.
Yeah, dude. Handsome young
man. Twin palms?
Twin palms.
He kind of looks like Randy also. That's the best. And I love that he's like, he's getting shit-faced the entire movie. He's always got a bottle of booze the entire fucking time.
Well, he's like that like stereotypical private eye, like where he's a drunk. You know what I mean? Like,
he doesn't do things by the book. He's a rebel, dude. And I love when he meets up with like the cop. And like, that's like, it's such a good scene though, too. Like, even like things like that are like, he's meeting up with the local police and like that local cop is like, things are all fucked up around here. There's drug deals going on with cops and like shit like that. Dude. I was like, dude, this is awesome. It just laid out such a fun story.
Every character is interesting in this movie. Literally everybody that you meet is good.
Everybody you see. Yeah. It's just so much fun.
I like the religious woman that comes to the house. Like she's like I guess supposed to be like a Mormon or something, right? Yeah,
she wants to save him, man.
Yeah. Let me roll that because this cracks me up. She asks the vampire's familiar, have you been saved?
I hope you don't mind me asking, but have you been saved?
I saved soap bottles for years. Never could find a place to turn them in. Finally just throw them away.
But if you haven't been saved...
I love this reaction.
Holy shit!
The leg is the best part here, dude. I love this leg.
Dude, the holy shit that she said...
I know, out of the girl that was just preaching, dude, is
literally... Dude, that holy shit is literally the most realistic fucking reaction I've ever heard in one of these movies. It's so good. And the funny thing is, we didn't mention this. They use the TV as almost like a hypnotizing device.
Oh, yeah. The fucking vampire is obsessed with TV. He's always watching TV.
Yeah. But he uses that to like hypnotize his victims into like sedation where they just sit in front of the TV and I guess they think they're seeing something, right? They think they're seeing some sort of show or whatnot.
I love that all he does is watch TV because he's stuck inside all day and he can't go outside because of the sunlight. So then he legitimately just has to sit inside and watch TV. It's such a fucking like stupid like play on what it would be like to be a vampire in like today's society.
Yeah, especially if you weren't rich, like you'd be fucked, man. Like when they travel, he's like in a sack in the back of a station wagon, basically.
Yeah, like all the fucking windows are blacked out.
And like you hear that like screeching noise also like nonstop whenever he's basically outside of the house, right? He makes that noise.
He does not enjoy it.
No, definitely not. But like you said, he's constantly watching TV and he like relates the deaths sometimes to the TV. He's like almost pulling like a weird like Sheldon Cooper Big Bang Theory type thing, like mixed with
very Truman Show to me. I'm not Truman Show, fucking Cable Guy, where talking about like the different things. Because the whole like Gilligan's Island fucking death sequence here is it caught me off guard at first. I was like, is he talking about fucking Gilligan's Island?
When he's about to fucking kill this guy? Talks about Gilligan's Island. He talks about the Flintstones and shit.
Dude, the Flintstones ones was good too.
I think this guy was supposed to be like a neighbor or something, right?
Yeah, he was coming over to help the old woman.
Yeah.
Because she like lured him into like, oh, I got something in the trailer that needs fixing. And so, you know, being a good guy gets him nowhere.
Never go into somebody's trailer, right?
Oh, dude, I can... Yeah, that for sure.
Chris, can you know, before we go any further here, can you just fucking like enlighten the people of, I'm sure there's some sort of like trailer park etiquette, like unwritten rules. You know, there's always an unwritten rule type thing. Like, oh, you're on a motorcycle, you don't pass the fucking 1% gang. You know what I mean? Like shit like that. Like you're going to get yourself beaten up. So yeah, is there shit like that in the trailer park? Like, yo, you don't walk on somebody's fucking thing or whatever.
Well, I mean, you learn the lay of the land. There's always going to be a wily neighbor that, you know, shoot first, ask questions later in the trailer park kind of guy.
Damn.
You know, so you gotta figure that one out first and foremost. But really, dude, it's the wild fucking West, man. There's so many personalities compacted into a very small area of low income, of the nature of the trailer park in and of itself, and that breeds wildness, my friend. I'm talking some of the best parties I've ever been to in my life, some of the wildest fights that I've ever seen in my entire life. I've seen love stories fucking happen at the trailer park, man. It's really beautiful. A microcosm of today's society when I think about it. It's America in a fucking shell of aluminum
in a 200 square foot dirt park. And yeah, dude, let's interject here a little thing. What we're talking about, like Grizz was living in what you would call almost like a movie trailer park. Like when it wasn't like a mobile home where you're paying a lot fee and like everything's really nice. It's not one of those, because I know that's how they mostly are now. They're mostly very nice. If you live in a getup like that, hey, I look.
I'm
at
not
them.
Even hitting if they you live in the cheap. Fucking gangster trailer park.
That ain't even cheap. It ain't cheap anymore, dude. It ain't cheap at all. But but we're talking about like, I'm going to the fucking trailer park,
and like, you know, I lived every stereotype of the fucking trailer park at the time. You know, if it was to be had and to be done, you could come and fucking party with me at the trailer park, man.
There it is, man.
It was an all out good fucking time. It was a cheap place to live in my young 20s that offered a pretty colorful look into the different people you will see in this life, man. Cause the stories I could tell you about like characters, I'm talking full blown, like you just said, out of a fucking movie characters, dude.
It's real. Shit's
mostly
real.
Addicts, but yeah, well, but characters nonetheless.
Here's a question. Have you ever seen somebody get killed at the trailer park?
No, I think I've seen it like come close. Like I've seen a dude get like kicked like a goddamn soccer ball.
Damn.
In the face, man. You know, I've witnessed things that could have potentially led to that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it ever actually took it that far, man. Okay, I've seen some people threaten some motherfuckers about their lives, you know, for sure. So
final question. Actually two more questions. One, did you have satellite TV or did they have like regular cable?
So when I moved into the trailer, there was a cable cord that was coming in. You know how you got to like call and you get the box and shit like that. First thing I do is I just fucking plug that coaxial into the fucking TV always. Cause sure as shit, dude, there was already fucking cable.
Damn. They never turned it off.
They never fucking turned that bitch off. So I just fucking,
my man,
I got the basic cable package the entire time I was in the park.
My man,
fucking free of charge.
Man. Every Monday night, putting on Raw, sitting there with your buddies at the trailer park.
Believe it, I was watching Raw.
Now, the final question: have you ever seen a dead body at the trailer park?
I've seen some people that I didn't know whether or not they were a dead body.
Okay, I'll take it.
I think that says it all.
Yeah, I'll take it. All right. So we were talking about the Gilligan's Island death, so we might as well actually show it to you now. This actually is the first time where I find our vampire kind of creepy, like in a serial killer type way, like the way he speaks. Very just, he has no problem killing you. That's the bottom line. This guy has a very early 90s polo shirt. Every class stratum is represented. He's getting blasted with these TV waves. His wife, the professor, and Marianne. The movie star. Yeah, so basically what he's saying. She's got a bag of fucking body parts.
I just love that he's from Louisiana. He's like thing. That he was like a plantation owner and shit. So that's why he talks with that like ridiculous bayou fucking accent.
Yeah, he's got a very like Louisiana southern accent. Basically what he was saying is that Gilligan's Island is a microcosm of the world. That you had all everybody was represented in that film by one of the characters, and he's pretty right. It's true.
Yeah.
What a show! You a Gilligan's Island guy? I used to love that show. Nick at Night, bro.
I used to fuck with Gilligan's Island, dude. Like, honestly, like, my dad used to watch a lot of Gilligan's Island, the original Three Stooges, and the old school Little Rascals. Those were like the trifecta of what we used to fucking get down with. I watched a lot of that stuff.
We used to watch the Little Rascals VHS tapes at my grandparents' house. Oh, my grandma's house.
Black and white ones and shit and stuff, dude. Yeah. So good.
That shit was fucking good. And I used to love Nick at Night, man. Like fucking mid-90s, Nick at Night was great. Good stuff. Now you can find that all on, Pluto TV and shit. Like they have all that Wii TV that like you can watch Svengoolie and all that. Mii TV. It's Mii TV. But they have like all those good shows and shit.
You see fucking Jimmy on Svengoolie?
Who?
Fucking Jim Cornette.
Oh, yeah. he's a fan, man. He's a big fan. Him and Gilbert Gottfried is always, well, Gilbert's, you know, RIP, but they were buddies, apparently.
Yeah, I guess there's like he was on there doing like some kind of like food thing with him, and they show it like every 7 years so they don't have to pay him royalties to fucking.
It's so fucking funny. I think it's so funny when you find out like these other famous people or whatnot are like fans of things like that. Like finding out that like Gilbert Gottfried is like fucking friends with them and was a fan and used to watch it and everything. And like,
I mean, Cornette makes sense. He's a huge old, like, you know, Universal horror fan and stuff like that. Hammer film fan and stuff. Yeah. So like, that makes sense to me.
What's he always talking about? Like the ghost in Mr. Chicken or whatever.
Chicken, that's his favorite fucking movie. Yeah, like they always show that on Svengoolie.
I was going to say that was on Svengoolie like multiple fucking times. Oh, yeah. One thing I have to say, and it's funny because like at first it takes some getting used to, but like I really enjoy watching the old black and white movies now because I'll never watch them in any other setting. You know what I mean? Like I will never go to the fucking shelf and pull, you know, the Return of the Creature of the Black Lagoon. Like I'm just not gonna. It's just not gonna happen. Or like the old like Vincent Price Black Cat movies and all that shit. I'm sorry. I'll be honest with you. I'm not gonna watch it. 13 Ghosts is on, I think, this week. But like that's another one. Like I've seen the movie, but I'm not gonna put it on. But there's a lot of ones that I've only heard about, and like I feel like a fucking moron that I didn't see it. But watching
Hit the Pendulum, Vincent Price. That's the best black.
See like shit like that. Like, you know, Saturday night, you watch a fucking movie. It starts at 8 o'clock now. And like you end up watching these classic movies and you start seeing things like, oh, like this is probably an influence of this movie. Like I've seen this before in a movie that was 40 years later.
Years later. Yeah, for sure.
I really feel like it's a good counterbalance to watching shit like this and all the other shot on video, hyper gory fucking Japanese films and everything, which by the way, go back and watch all those YouTube live videos of our Japanese gore month. It was fucking great.
What a wild ride that was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had so much fun doing that.
Yeah. See, like, I wish they would get things like this on like Svengoolie or whatever. Like that'd be fucking good.
I would love to hear the commentary on something like this. That would be Sven is ridiculous anyway. So
that
like,
would be absolutely ridiculous. Gloomy vampire, what's up? We're talking about vampires here, vomiting vampires. So yeah, as this movie goes along, more and more people start dropping dead, and we get more and more classic songs. And this is probably one of my favorites, is the one that's playing when she's dragging the body.
Like, this is good, dude. This is really good. Ooh.
You got real teeth,
dude. This is like a fucking South Park song.
Dude, it really does. This movie has a very, you know, what was it, Cannibal the Musical, you know, feel to it, man. It definitely is similar to that, like, early Trey Parker, Matt Stone kind of comedy.
It really cracks me up. The songs really add so much to this fucking movie. And I think it, like, adds to even just what's going on in the scene. This woman's dumping a body by the fucking lake, but this, like, fucking Randy fucking Newman music is playing. it just works for whatever reason, just like Nudist Colony of the Dead. It just like works, just like works, being a musical. It's one of those things. It's a one in a million, man. And especially with something that wasn't released here for whatever reason, maybe it had to do with the music rights. I don't know.
Could be.
Who the fuck knows?
It looks like it was all like music was all recorded and done by like the same two guys from what like I got from the credits and stuff like that. So I felt like they had been like friends of the fucking the director and were like, yeah, dude, we'll write some ridiculous fucking songs for this movie.
Imagine they weren't like approaching somebody like, hey, you're a serious musician. I'm going to need you to write music for my movie Vampire Trailer Park.
Sign me up, dude.
Yeah. Well, me and you would be like, fuck yeah. But I mean, I think the average Joe producer is going to be probably like, what? Yeah. What's your budget? $7. It's like, okay. And you owe me $7.
So like, we didn't really talk too much about this like young couple who we see throughout the movie, like basically robbing fucking stores and
doing
stuff,
a natural born killers type thing.
Yeah. And he keeps talking about how he wants to fucking kill people and he's a real badass and shit. So like they run into the fucking the trailer park owner guy who's trying to kill old people, and he's like makes some friends with them real quick after he hits on the girl and shit, dude. That whole scene was so fucking good. But anyways, he's like, you know, why don't you like help me kill some of these fucking old people? You know, I'm gonna come into this money. We just gotta knock off these old people first. So they end up in the trailer park also, but unfortunately, they also end up in the wrong fucking trailer. When they meet our homie the Louisiana vampire who now lives in the trailer park.
What does the fucking guy keep saying? Fuck, he's not feng shui. He's like, oh, that's not like that's totally zen, like like totally zen murder. Like he said shit like that throughout the whole fucking movie.
Through the whole thing.
But he's hypnotized by the TV.
Check this out.
You see, to me, you two are strangers.
It's a great line.
And have always relied on the kindness of strangers.
Another great line.
That's such a good fucking line.
For a vampire to say that, that's an awesome fucking... Now that I'm, like, thinking about the line in, like, context of, like, who's saying it and shit, dude. Awesome line.
This movie is insanely well-written. That's probably because...
For sure.
And that's probably because this motherfucker also fucking did Jacko.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of stuff. Did Biohazard and shit. So
yeah, you see the poster in the back, the Continental Big Box, you might remember. And
I was like, why is that fucking poster like the only thing in this fucking movie? Well, come to find out, it's the guy that fucking made it. So I guess he's a little self-promotion there.
I was going to say it's like pretty blatant. But eventually we do get the culmination of this private eye and this psychic investigating the murders and the disappearances and all that shit. And they come face to face with the witch and the vampire, right? They call her a witch multiple times throughout the movie, don't they?
Yeah, which is weird. I mean, she doesn't have any fucking magical powers or anything.
I think she is like older than she should be.
See, I was trying to figure out if she had been turned into a vampire yet or not, because she kept mentioning how like, oh, I'm gonna die soon, and like you're gonna have to get a new familiar, and like kind of hinting at the fact that she didn't want to die. Mm-hmm. And then after that point, she kind of got a little more like mystic and magical feeling in a way. Like she just kind of would appear out of fucking nowhere and stuff. So yeah. Like,
They said something
was to represent she was now a vampire. I don't know.
I feel like they said something at some point that she's from like that she was born in the early 1900s or something. And she don't really look like she doesn't look 90. That's for sure. But our cop, well, he's not a cop. He's a fucking private eye, private dick, ends up fucking getting into it. He gets into it with the woman and he doesn't hold back.
This is my favorite scene in the entire movie. I literally like gut laughed when I fucking first watched this. It was ridiculous.
He found it so soothing.
Oh no, he dropped his gun.
You come right there?
It doesn't help that he's wearing like the fucking like the wife beater.
Fire!
Full on punches her in the gut. Like, totally just fucking liver punches her.
Dude, it's so good.
And he's like,
he's just like, oh, goddamn.
I was going to say, he's holding his stomach like he's got diarrhea for some reason. He has a really funny line before that, like when he first enters the house. What does he say?
Oh,
like,
the children of the night
he's
line?
He's like, oh,
dude?
Children of the night. What beautiful music like you make or something like that.
Great callback.
Yeah, that was fucking awesome. That's a quality Dracula line. And also a Rocky Erickson, I guess, lyric. It's in Burn the Flame, I guess. But we eventually get the vampire versus the private eye. Once he's able to kind of knock out the familiar.
Beats the shit out of
me. Yeah. And this is where we get the final confrontation between the two of these guys. I like the shot from outside of the trailer. You see the lights kind of like getting low in there. It's all smoky. It's kind of bright too.
The vampire emerging right here is one of the best shots.
Yeah. It's pretty creepy looking here. And it's being illuminated by the TV, right? That's what that light is. This is like really awesome. And we don't show it there, but eventually it shows the psychic outside who uses her scanner ability to blow up the TV.
Yeah, she totally scans that fucking TV. That's right.
She scans the fucking TV and it explodes.
Yeah, crazy. She's the witch.
Dude, that was fucking awesome. The TV explodes and they kind of leave it ambiguous.
They couldn't find him after like the whole explosion. They're like, where the fuck the vampire go? And they're like, oh, he's gone. Like, yeah. Okay.
So not only could they not find the vampire, but she was also gone too, the old woman. Yeah, right?
What the fuck happened?
They have something called plot armor, Grizz. And they are in the end of the film, the ending scene. Well, sort of the ending scene. They have escaped fairly unharmed. And they're moving on up to a nice suburban house, which this looks like, where do you think this is? Louisiana?
Now, I thought they said Chicago in the film, but this does not look like Chicago.
No, definitely not. Not with those trees. that noise is the vampire. They have the fucking back of the station wagon all blacked out with garbage bags.
There's that song again, baby.
I love it, man. This movie is a fucking 10 out of 10. Absolutely loved it. Probably one of my favorite vampire movies of all time. We could probably think of a list pretty soon of just like comedic vampire films that will probably be better than most things you've watched. You know what I mean?
For sure.
It's pretty wild.
Oh man, this one is amazing. I absolutely love the plot of it, the way the characters interact. Like we were saying earlier, there's not a single person that you meet in this movie that's not funny, interesting, or just like over the fucking top in some way. It's paced so well where I'm never like, god damn, this movie. I mean, it's an hour and a half for a shot on video movie. It moves.
I think this might be 16 millimeter, right? After watching it, dude. I don't know. If somebody knows, let us know, please.
Because like that opening, with the opening scene with the fucking the chicken eating with the carton of smokes, that looks so like shot on video.
Yeah, dude. Maybe it's Super 8. I don't know.
I don't think it's Super 8 because it doesn't have that, like, I don't know. Super 8 gives me like this weird dreamy fucking like I don't know, Day of the Reaper. That's what I think of when I think of like Super 8.
But you got to remember too, like the people that like are legitimate film people make Super 8 look pretty fucking good. You know what I mean? Like,
camera wise too, you have a better Super 8 camera. So,
yeah. I don't know. This probably was shot on video though. I don't know. I'm not going to say it. I have to investigate. I have to look into it. I need to
get a
copy of this tape and watch it like on my VCR and everything. And I could figure it out from there.
You'd see it. Oh yeah. It'd be way clearer
to
see what you're looking at or not clear. And that gives you a good indication.
It is what it is, man. But Grizz, I would like to nominate Vampire Trailer Park from 1991. I would like to nominate it as an inductee into the Bad Taste Video Hall of Fame. Do you concur?
It's a must. Yeah, it's an absolute fucking must. There should be a subsection just for vampire movies at this point. Like you just said, we have so many that we've just fallen in love with. You know, obviously we said we're not going to do another Vampire Month movie, but you can absolutely expect some more vampire movies sprinkled in the future, because the more I find, the more I just continue
digging deeper
to fucking love them.
Going into the crypt. Into the vampire crypt. And this is available on fucking YouTube. You can watch this on YouTube.
Yeah.
So pretty easy, man. That's Vampire Trailer Park from 1991. So Grizz, this week, I guess I'm going to take over because we're not really doing
homework.
Yeah. We're not really doing a Wide World of Metal. We're doing a Wide World of Metal influenced hardcore. We thought we'd do something a little bit different, and I figured we would cover an album that I grew up on, something that shaped my childhood/teen years. And that's going to be the album. Well, it's really like an EP, Negative Outlook by Sworn Enemy from 1999. I wish I had time to go to my parents' house and actually dig it out from one of the boxes, but I do have the original CD of this that I bought at a show when I was fucking younger. So this is a band. Sworn Enemy is a band that I grew up fucking loving. I hung out with a lot of people that were a lot older than me, a lot of people that I shouldn't have been hanging out with, bad influences. I turned out all right, knock on wood. I didn't fucking follow them down certain paths. But Sworn Enemy was a band that I probably saw as a kid. Like, this was the first time I would see, like, legitimate violence at a show, crazy drug use, all that sort of shit at the Red Zone in Queens. This was like one of those things where it like opened my eyes, and it didn't hurt that I was a tag along, I guess you could say, at that age. I mean, you ain't fucking friends with a dude that's in his mid-20s when you're like fucking 15, 16. But it didn't hurt that they were like affiliated with Sworn Enemy. Like, they were in other bands that played with them. They were buddies, like they hung out and all that shit. So like, we always went and saw them. We always got to fucking have a good time. And this was the album that I first heard. And I was like, wow, this is like my, like, I love this. This is fucking awesome. This isn't like punk. This is more metal, more like fucking a heavier type of hardcore, to me at least.
Yeah, I mean, this, and when he, listening to the time and place when it came out, 1999, taking that into consideration, this is definitely way better than I thought it was going to be. I know of the band. I've heard some of their later stuff, and I never really fucking clicked with me. This stuff here, it has some elements that I absolutely fucking love. It has some elements that I didn't really care for.
It's dated in certain places. Certain things.
I think the vocalist, the way the vocal delivery, it has that very NYC hardcore.
I was going to say, it's very specific to like that style of music, that time. Bands like Sworn Enemy, Everybody Gets Hurt, Billy Club Sandwich, Madball, I guess, sort of. But, you know, I used to always go see bands like Irate and stuff, and they all sounded like this. They all had these like beat down type fucking breakdowns before you were going to see fucking On Broken Wings or whatever the hell is going on now. This is like if you wanted to see somebody get like insanely fucked up, these were the shows you went to if you were in New York, at least. Like, obviously, yeah, there's other bands in other states, but let's play a little clip so people can get an idea, because they may only know post 9/11 Sworn Enemy.
I will say, you told me what tracks I should pull from, and I picked the parts of those tracks that I liked the best.
Okay,
so that's what you're gonna hear here when we play these.
Okay, so first track I'm gonna play is New Breed. This was the opener of the album. This was a song that I absolutely always loved seeing live, and if you listen to the whole thing, you would see why. But let's roll that beautiful bean footage, man. What album art?
I love that album footage.
And I know you love the two-step, man. This stuff is filled with fucking two-steps. This is filled with two steps into fucking breakdowns also, which is always fun.
I love stuff like this. Stuff that they did like this, which they do quite a bit on the album. Awesome. I'm all in for this, man. That part's good. But I don't care for it. They do have some very heavily punk influenced sections on this still.
Yes. Yeah, that is a thing.
I mean, there's a lot of like real punky D beat sections and stuff, and like you know, some of it I was just like, whoa, why the fuck is this happening? This was so good. Like, what the fuck are we doing here, you know?
Dude, but that was like part of the New York sound. Like, look at Madball. Like, dude,
Exactly. I'm not a fucking Madball guy. But like I and the same thing with like the vocalist here. There's parts of it, like with that part we just heard, I'm like, yeah, dude, this rips, this sounds good, everything's good. And then there's parts where like his delivery becomes kind of cheesy. And it is that like time-dated NYC kind of thing.
It turns like Cookie Monster-ish at times.
Yeah. Right? Like not in like a traditional death metal Cookie Monster-ish way. And like kind of like,
type noise.
I'm like, all right, okay, come on.
But like the beginning of New Breed, like his like the first couple lines of the song, like insane vocal delivery, like that shit live is awesome, like super high energy. His voice is like, even though we're saying this, like his voice is fucking awesome. It like fits the music and like the genre and everything like perfectly.
I will agree with that. Like it's just not something that I'm normally listening to, I guess.
Yeah, like this is something that I fucking like, dude. Like people joke about like E-Town Concrete. Like I legitimately grew up listening to E-Town Concrete. Like when everybody's laughing, I'm like, what's so funny? Like, yeah, what? But like he was always one of my favorite hardcore vocalists. I always thought it was like super hyper aggressive shit I wish I could do, but I couldn't for whatever reason. I could never quite get that fucking sound.
Well, I think that like I could see how this band live would be fucking awesome, just because of like the energy of the music, the message that's within the vocals of the music. It promotes this like camaraderie, this fucking like badassness. Like it really does kind of have this like, you know, for lack of a better term, like gang fucking mentality.
Well, it was. You want to have some fun story time?
That's why I said fucking lack of a better fucking term. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So we're gonna play another track right now. This track is called IDS, Instant Death Squad. I don't know what that means. Yeah. Or Integrity Defined Strength, depends what you want. You know, that's the whole whatever. But let me play this, and I will explain a little bit after. And also, when you talk about like seeing a band that's fun, like this was like live seeing this.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's sick.
You could find live videos of this, obviously, like on YouTube, and there's live recordings on some of the albums and shit. And like this stuff live is fucking awesome. So much like crowd involvement, people beating the fuck out of each other. Don't you love my car? That show is fucking awesome. So, all right, IDS, right?
Yep.
I don't know if they're still around. I don't know if it's still a group, but it was a hardcore crew. I used to hang out with another hardcore crew that was, I guess, affiliated. I was young, but, you know, it was a different time in the music scene where you could go to a show and end up getting the absolute fucking shit beat out of you for no other reason than somebody didn't know who you were. So
your friends were.
Well, that was the whole thing. Like on Long Island, like a lot of my friends that are my age went to like the normal VFW shows that you should go to at that age. And I was going to things with people that like you had to be 18 or 21 to get in. But because I was walking in with the band, it didn't fucking matter. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was like two completely different like seeds, which I find pretty funny. But IDS was one of them. You had DMS also and all that shit in New York.
Who was the crew that went around beating up the fucking like non-straight edge fucking kids?
Oh, that was straight edge. That was Courage Crew, right? Wasn't that Courage Crew that did that shit?
Fuck,
they were all straight edge, right? Yeah.
That's what turned me off of straight edge music when I was younger. As a fucking drug dumpster that I was like, these motherfuckers aren't going to come to my fucking show and beat me up because I want to get fucked up. Like, that was garbage.
Before I continue my story, do you know the band Cold as Life? Have you ever listened to Cold as Life?
Yeah, I'm aware of them. Yeah.
That is like a drug dumpster band. That is one of my favorite hardcore bands of all time. And like, talk about a band that's like comprised of real motherfuckers. Like, that's the one thing, the caveat to all these things.
Even the second look.
Well, that, like, oh, dude, I think Born to Land Hard, when you take the CD out, there's a wanted thing or whatever because the dude was fucking murdered. Like, one of the band members was murdered. And like, they were looking for the dude, like, wild, wild backstory. But at the time, like, that was, I guess, you know, everybody that was playing this music was for some reason like legit. Like, yeah, you had like the shit going on in, you know, fucking that like second wave of black metal where like they're doing church burnings, they're stabbing each other within the group. But like a lot of these bands and a lot of these crews and all that and like these fucking, you know, whatever, they were like doing legitimate gang shit. You know what I mean? Like, it was no joke. Like, there was plenty of people that I knew that went to jail. There were plenty of people that I know that were like, that got seriously harmed dealing drugs and everything. And they were all affiliated with these fucking bands. So like growing up, like seeing that shit, I feel like that like just shaped my like idea of like music and like how shows should be and the things that like are acceptable at shows, which now I look back and a lot of that shit's fucked up.
yeah, just a little bit.
A lot of it's fucked up.
I feel like there's a big gap in like from when we were younger, and you know, just the intensity of the shows and stuff, and like you said, some of the things that like a lot of bands were affiliated with. It's just like such a gap, I think, from like then and now, to like where culture is now, and like, you know, the way, you know, people are expected to act.
Yeah.
And you know, group settings and shit. It's just completely like a shift that happened some period in like the mid 2000s that like there's a defined wall, I feel like, of time.
Before we wrap this up, I'm going to put this one story out there to show like the type of people, like, you know how like there's like bands and people do dumb shit nowadays and like people get in trouble for stuff and like there's fighting and all that. I'm not going to say the band, but it was a friend of a friend. You know, I hung out with this group of people, whatever. We go to their practice space. The guy's talking about something. He says, yeah, I got a gun. Oh, okay. It's like, why? Well, you know, I need it for whatever. He was doing other illicit things. Everyone's fucking around, whatever. He goes to one of the other guys. Yeah, you want to see it? The guy's like, no. He just goes, well, I'll show you anyway. He pulls it out. He walks halfway out the door, sticks his arm out, and just shoots the gun into the air. Boom. This is in fucking like suburban fucking Long Island. I was like, dude, I never went back to that place. That was it. I was like, I'm out of here. Unreal, dude. Unreal. But that was a different time and a different place. There's
always a loose cannon person, dude, that's just like unpredictable. And like, I feel like a lot of the times those people have a gun for some reason and they want to like shoot it to like show that they have it. I've met so many people in my life that have like, I've had like a shotgun pulled on me in a similar situation just because I think the person wanted to be like cool. Fucking intimidating. Or
it's
whatever.
Not cool, guys. It's just it's like, not. Dude, that scared sucks. The shit out of me. I did not think that person was cool at all. And I probably am better off not hanging around those types. But Grizz, Sworn Enemy, Negative Outlook, I absolutely recommend it. If you're into like a hardcore / metal influenced band, I feel like they're those like, you know, Integrity Defines Strength is the first one, the Negative Outlook, and even mainstream shit is still good.
I hear where a lot of the bands that I'm really into now, like, you know, Dead Heat, Power Trip, you know, all these different things like that, where I can hear where they are pulling that sound from. Like, I can hear like the origins now, basically, of like, because I never took the time to listen to stuff like this. You know, I always wrote it off as like fucking stupid tough guy shit that I just wasn't into. I mean, in particular, because of all the stuff that happened with like the gang that I was talking about beating up fucking friends of mine. So like, it was just kind of like a bullshit scene to me. But, you know, I have kind of like refound a love in it because of the metal influence that I really like. And it has like this, like the two-step shit. I can fucking sign me up all day. That's feels so good. Like, how could you not you like that?
I'm just glad that I was able to show you something that you enjoyed.
I did enjoy it. I listened to it all this morning at the gym. It was a fucking great workout.
It's good gym music, right? Like,
oh, it put me in the fucking, I wanted to beat someone's ass there for no reason. I felt
bad. Listen to the other one now. Integrity Defines Strength. That's another good one. Yeah. I'll send it to you.
For tomorrow, shoulder day. We'll see how it goes.
But Grizz, next week we will be covering Las Vegas Bloodbath from 1989. Yes. I have never watched that movie. I always was waiting for the tape, but now I really don't give a fuck. So we will be watching it for next
week. I watched it this past weekend, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's the perfect follow-up to this movie.
Nice.
It's going to be a wild one.
Nice. I cannot wait. Grizz, that is going to be 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time next Tuesday on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@badtastevideopodcast. But where could they find you specifically on the internet?
You can find me on Instagram at @Kane_enabler.
And you can find me at Bad Taste Video. And you can find everything we do at www.badtastevideo.com. Please subscribe to our Patreon if you want to help us out pay the bills. I actually uploaded something to there today. Sure. Some people didn't think it was real. I do own the tape, so obviously it is. Finally, I didn't see it anywhere on the internet. I've seen some other like random things. But it's not this. Dead is Dead too. If you're interested. Yeah, it exists. But Grizz, I think we're wrapping it up. Rented that on VHS back in the day. I hope you're talking about Dead is Dead too, because that'd be fucking awesome. But Grizz, that just wraps it up for this week. We will see you next week with Las Vegas Bloodbath. I had to think about it for a second, and that's kind of a mouthful, and I'm really, really not looking forward to saying that. Thank you everybody in the chat for coming, and we will see you next week.